That is the case. I will move to the next item, which is the report of the Chair of the Due Process Oversight Committee. I, for the second time, acted as an interim chair following the sad demise of Harvey Goldschmidt. As I mentioned previously, Jim Quigley will be the chair of the DOC. So for today, I will report on our meeting of yesterday. We met on the 14th of April, by the way, and at this meeting, we covered a number of issues. Firstly, we reviewed the IASB's current technical activities. We heard progress reports from staff on the IASB's current technical agenda, including accounting for insurance contract leases, macro hedging, rate-regulated activities, the conceptual framework, and the disclosure initiative. On insurance contracts, with the DPOC noted that as a consequence of the complexity of the issue related to contracts with participating features, the IASB has decided to extend its original timetable to consider the issues in detail and to continue its engagement with interested parties. And the IASB is expected to reach tentative decisions on the accounting model for contracts with participating features later in the quarter two of 2015. The IASB does not expect to issue the standard on insurance contracts before the end of 2015. The committee discussed the interaction between the new insurance contract standard and IFRS 9 financial instruments, the fact that entities that issued insurance contracts would be significantly affected by both standards. The DPOC was informed that the IASB is continuing to consider ways in which the transition to the new standard might be facilitated. On leases, the DPOC noted that the IASB has focused on finalizing its re-deliberation of the 2013 exposure draft, and in particular has made tentative decisions on the disclosure requirements that accompany the lessee accounting model and on transition requirements. It also noted that the IASB has considered the due process steps, and I will return to that issue in a moment. The DPOC was also updated on the progress of the research program, the trials to assess the staff's proposal to amend the IFRS taxonomy due process, forthcoming second agenda consultation, and the implementation projects being undertaken. On this last point, the focus of the DPOC discussion was on the progress of the revenue transition resource group and the challenges that it raised. On the revenue recognition standard, the DPOC was informed that the U.S. FASB has decided to propose a one-year deferral in the effective date of the standard and is preparing to issue an exposure draft on the issue. The IASB is planning to discuss the effective date issue at its April meeting. If the IASB decides to propose a similar deferral to the effective date of IFRS 15, then it will also need to issue an exposure draft on the issue. The DPOC discussed what might be an appropriate comment period for such an exposure draft and agreed that the comment period could be shortened to 30 days, given the narrow scope. The DPOC's approval on this issue is in line with paragraph 6.7 of the due process handbook. The IASB will report back to the DPOC the outcome of its discussion in April on this issue. The DPOC was satisfied that all projects were proceeding in a manner consistent with the requirements set out in the due process handbook. The DPOC received a report setting out a life cycle review of the due process undertaken on the leases project, together with a copy of the agenda paper that had been presented to the IASB at its March 2015 meeting. This agenda paper summarized the due process that had been taken in developing the standard, analyzed whether the IASB has complied with all necessary due process requirements, and sought the board's permission to commence the balloting process. The DPOC noted the long history of this project, which has been conducted jointly with the FSB since its formal inception in July 2006. The POC noted that the proposals on leases have always generated controversy and among some stakeholders continue to do so. The two boards have therefore proceeded carefully and there has been extensive due process carried out on this project with the publication of a discussion paper in 2009, two exposure drafts in 2010 and 2023. Throughout the life of the project, the two boards have also carried out extensive outreach activities, including public roundtable meetings and setting up an advisory leases working group. On the majority of topics, IASB and the FASB have reached converged decisions, including most importantly on the requirement for a lessee to recognize assets and liabilities for its leases other than short-term leases and for the IASB leases of small assets such as laptops and office furniture. But the DPOC noted that the two boards have reached different decisions on a number of issues, most notably on the lessee accounting approach for existing operating leases. Different stakeholders have taken different views on the priority on maintaining convergence between boards, but the balance of opinion canvassed from stakeholders by the IASB has emphasized that while convergence is important, the quality of the final standard is even more important, and the DOC was reassured that the IASB has reached different decisions from the FASB only after careful evaluation of the implications of reaching those different decisions and when, in its view, those decisions represent the higher quality solution. The DPOC has previously emphasized the importance to the IASB of the need to avoid being left exposed to claims that it has not followed due process and that it takes steps to ensure that it discloses publicly the rationale used to reach tentative decisions and conclusions, with special attention to issues that receive substantial debate in the exposure process, including outside the comment letter consultation in response to DP and 2ED. The IASB highlighted the work that it has undertaken in this area on leases, including the publication of three project updates between August 2014 and March 2015. These documents are available on the website. The committee noted that at its March 2015 meeting, the IASB considered whether or not to re-expose the proposals, and the DPOC was content with the IASB's decision not to re-expose. In summary, the DPOC was satisfied that all the necessary due process steps on the project have been completed, and the committee confirmed that its review of due process was now complete. The balloting process is now underway, and the revised standard will be issued later in 2015. The DPOC considered a report on the progress and findings of the post-implementation review of IFRS three business combinations. As required by the due process handbook, the PIR has been conducted in two phases, with the first phase involving an initial identification and assessment of the matters to be examined. This resulted in the issue of a public consultation in the form of a request for information. The second phase involved considering the feedback to the consultation, together with a review of the relevant academic literature. The IASB has discussed this feedback and decided to add a number of items to its agenda. In discussion, the committee was content that all necessary due process steps have been followed and that its review of due process on the PIR is complete. The IASB will proceed with the finalization of the report and feedback statement on the PIR, which is expected for publication later in the second quarter of 2015. The DPOC was updated on the material that IFRS Education Initiative was developing in 2015 and was satisfied that the level of review that was planned in each case was consistent with the requirements set out in the due process handbook. On consultative groups and DPOC engagement, the committee was updated on the latest activities of a number of the IASB's consultative groups and noted the forward schedule for meetings. The DPOC discussed whether members should observe meetings of the major advisory groups at least once a year, but decided against having such a formal process. The DPOC received regular updates on the work of the groups and annually considered the report from the staff that reviewed the effectiveness of all groups. Observation of a meeting might be useful, in particular for new trustees, and a member could observe it in London or via webcast for a number of groups. On correspondence, no new matters had been received since the February 2015 meeting. And that completes my report. Do you have any questions or comments? Well, if not, I guess this concludes our session. I would like to thank you all, thank the observers that have listened to us, and I also would like to reiterate our thanks to our Canadian hosts for their warm welcome and efficient organization and enlightening contribution. And I would also, this is a tradition, but it is a tradition that goes on because of the quality of the contribution they provide. I would like to thank the staff for their for the organization of this meeting. It went very smoothly. So again, thanks to you all, and safe way back home. Next meeting will be in June in London.